Good evening and thank you for staying tuned to Good News Community Radio on 93.6 FM. This is the station that endeavors to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ 24/7. And we've got some good news for you this evening. The time is 1800 hours, which means that it is time for your program, Heartlines. And this evening, we're speaking to Solomi Mnyeni, who is the son of Thembi Mnyeni, the co-founder of the ministry Single Moms Raising Sons. So, Solomi, thank you so much for your time this evening, and we appreciate your presence on the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Luis. As mentioned, my name is Solomi Mnyeni. I am a son of a single mother, and I work with Single Moms Raising Sons, predominantly under the Men Molding Men, which is the portion of the ministry where we deal with a lot of the men issues, where we deal with fatherlessness, both from the young kids to the older grown men. Yes.
So could you back up a little bit and just tell us about Single Moms Raising Sons, why they exist and how they came into existence?
Well, Single Moms Raising Sons is a two-pronged ministry that is looking to empower, educate, and equip the single mom and actually help her raise a generation of young boys who can unlock their potential and just be better for the world of tomorrow. When we look at statistics around the world, we look at the suicide rate of 63% of these fatherless boys. 85% of kids with behavioral issues come from fatherless homes, and 80% of rape offenders come from fatherless homes. So when we work with such people, we're working with a group that can actually, if we work with them correctly, can resolve a lot of the issues that society is battling with. One thing that we tend to do is go and try fix an issue rather than try to prevent it. So in the ministry, we're working to help both the single mom understand what God says about her and the fatherless boy understand his identity in Christ in order for us to actually help them grow and resolve quite a lot of the issues in society.
So you mentioned that you are involved with the Men Molding Men. Could you just explain how you go about reaching out to these men and what your specific role is?
Well, with Men Molding Men, just like the rest of Single Moms Raising Sons, we work with partners. We have two very specific structures that we work on because most of our staff is camp-based. The first, we call it the clay, which is the kids 7 to 12 and 13 to 18. The reason we call them clay is because these boys don't really know who they are yet. So as you're molding clay and building it up to something that's going to be solid, you have to be careful how much water you add, how long you leave it in the fire for, and a whole lot of things like that. So we have three camps for these two age groups. The reason we have three camps is because it allows us to follow their progress and see how they're doing. When a boy comes to one camp and leaves, a lot of things can be unraveled, whereas in camp two, we can understand what is this boy going through, have they learned what we were dealing with. And with camp one, we deal with identity, self-esteem, love, trust, and joy. Camp two, we deal with generosity, humility, honesty, respect, and empathy. Camp three, we deal with courage, pain, anxiety, pressure, and forgiveness. It's actually a very enjoyable camp, and they're having a senior one currently this weekend, which unfortunately I'm not able to attend, but the other mentors from the Character Company, who is our partner when it comes to doing the camps and working with these boys, is helping to facilitate.
So, Mnyeni, with the Men Molding Men, why do you believe that it's specifically necessary for a man to be involved in this process with a younger boy, as opposed to maybe having women involved?
One of the things that tends to happen is when we are sitting alone, we are in a safe space where we feel it's easier for us to open up. Sometimes when I speak to the mothers, I speak to them about the issues we have in our relationships with them as fatherless boys. Because one of the things that will happen is as a young boy, you will have an issue and you will go to your mother and you will raise the issue and she will become emotional. Once you resolve her emotions, She believes the issue is done. But the problem there is that the issue is not done. Mm-hmm. So next time you come and that happens another two or three times, you now reach a point where you have nobody to help you resolve these issues. And also some issues are really specific to us. That is why when we have our camps, we have the boys opening up about issues at home, opening up about issues that they don't know how to deal with, whether we're dealing with the teenage kids who are speaking a lot about girlfriends and stuff that they're going through, or in the iron, which is the older men, where we are trying to mold them into the shape that they're meant to be, because as they are older, they are already rigid and know exactly who they are, even though who they are may not be who they were meant to be. Mm-hmm. So when we sit and have a men around the fire, where we sit as men who are 25 and above, and the age there has no limits, but we sit and we have discussions about problems that we have, because if we are going to mentor these young boys, we ourselves have to find healing, which means it is easier for me as a man that grew up fatherless to understand the problems that a fatherless boy will face, rather than somebody else who may be of the opposite gender or who has no understanding of the importance of a mentor or a positive male role model in these young boys' lives.
Do you believe that specifically men are more capable of teaching a boy how to become a man as opposed to a woman trying to teach those values?
Yes, I truly believe so, simply because if we start looking at the issues that we go through, it is very difficult to understand what the other gender goes through. What I sometimes use as an example is a man can raise hundreds of women, but he will never fully comprehend what the woman goes through when she's going through her menstrual cycle. He can read books from birth till however old he gets, but he'll never understand that experience. In the same sense, as much as these mothers carry these boys, they don't fully understand them. That is why, as much as we ourselves are trying to teach these boys, we are not telling them that we are correct. What we teach them is understanding who they are in Christ, understanding their identity in Christ, because what we take for ourselves is that we are John the Baptist. We don't want these people to see us as perfection, but we just want to point to Christ. But because of our understanding of what they've been through, it is easier for us to point them into that direction, because no matter how much we speak life into them, we are still able to fall. We are still able to struggle with certain things. But so long as we are teaching them who they are in Christ, then they can have a better role model than ourselves as well. We are just here to help them. If we can take a biblical example of someone who is damaged because of the lack of positive male influence in his life, we could look at David. David is rejected by his father. David finds a surrogate father in Saul, but Saul ends up trying to kill him. And then we look at Samuel, who was such a great mentor and so close to Saul, but when it came to David, he didn't have the same interest. Later in life, David has a lot of shortcomings that we can attribute to the fact that he didn't have a positive male role model or a father figure to guide him or help him navigate these things that would happen in the future.
You're really highlighting some very important points here, especially in this discussion of specifically the role of a father. You know, I feel that so many men can easily be intimidated when it comes to fatherhood with what you mentioned, trying to portray an image of perfection, maybe fearing that if you fail as a father, immediately you're going to lead that child astray. But it's so beautiful how you highlight that your goal is not to be the standard of perfection, but to point them to the standard of perfection, who is Jesus Christ. Salami, if I can ask, why specifically are you involved with this ministry? I know that your mother is one of the co-founders, but what is your interest in this ministry?
Well, my first interest is usually to introduce it to different groups and help it grow, but my main interest is here at Men Molding Men. I help run and develop the camps and find partners that will help equip these young boys and also help the mothers as well. Because one thing that we have identified is the tuning to speak. The mothers will never understand the mistakes that they make unless we, especially as the older men who grew up without fathers, can actually voice the issues to them and say, this and this and this is a problem. Yes, we understand that some women are deeply hurt. Thus, single moms comes in and actually works to heal them. But on this side, you also have men who are deeply hurt and broken that we look to see how do we work on impacting them. We are currently working on a camp that we are going to be starting next year, which is boys 19 to 24. We are dealing there with identity. Who am I? Who does God say I am? And who do I choose to be? That will happen over two different camps. And then our bigger camp and major camp is going to be for men 25 and older. As I mentioned before, we have a partner called The Character Company. They work with long-term mentorship for boys in terms of helping them grow and everything. So one of the reasons we are looking to work with older men is because it is very important that we help them heal and get equipped, because we don't want a broken man pouring his brokenness onto these young boys. So the best way for us to move forward is to say, let's work on helping men heal and helping them understand the need for them to mentor these young boys. In fact, one of the things that we're looking to see is how do we incorporate more programs for Fathers Matter, because when you look at these young men, a lot of them will become fathers, but they've been through a life where some of them are so broken they feel intimidated. So the whole concept of being a father is, it's not just a matter of running away from responsibility so much as it's running away from the fear of failure. So the tools we are using, the tools we are bringing, is not only to help this young man grow up to be a better man for tomorrow, but to help him become a better father tomorrow, or a father figure to a young boy that doesn't have one. I myself, as much as I grew up without a father, I was fortunate and blessed enough to have men that stood up and took it upon themselves to help raise me into the man that I am today. Even now, I can still remember the man that taught me how to ride a bike and small little things. Even something as simple as teaching me the importance of respect is something that we don't always get. But in this ministry, what we are working on when it comes to the men is saying we need to equip the older men to be able to equip the younger boys, so that the circle just keeps going. Because anywhere there is a fatherless boy, if there is a man that is able to be equipped, let us work on equipping him to be able to be a positive role model to this young boy. So this young boy even has someone to speak to about certain issues that may be too difficult to raise with their mother.
Salami, and you've mentioned this element of identity quite a few times. Why do you specifically target the identity? What do you think is the fruit that will come from that focus?
Identity is a very important part of men molding men, because what we try to help this man understand is that his identity is in Christ. We try to break everything else away, because what tends to happen is that, let's take an athlete. An athlete gets injured and they go through depression and a whole lot of these things because their identity has been built so much into their sport or skill that they cannot understand or comprehend life outside of that. Over and above that, because we understand that we are created by Christ, we need to understand ourselves through our Creator. An example that I use is that if you are carrying a phone, the phone breaks. If you go to a local person who can fix it but is not fully accredited or certified or understands how to fix it, you might get a fake part. And the fake part will work for a period, but it will not resolve the brokenness of the phone. If you go to the store that sold it to you, that I use as an analogy of the mother that carried the child, they may know something about it, but they don't fully know how to fix it because they were just there to sell it to you. They were just there to carry it. But if you go to the store brand, they are the ones that made it. They know it inside and out. And if you want someone to fix it, you go to someone that is certified by the store brand. So when we speak of identity with the older gents, we speak and teach on identity and purpose. Because if you understand your identity in Christ, then you'll seek your purpose from Him. And we can help build you up from there. With the young boys, We teach identity first because we want to teach them to be respectful, to be generous, to be empathetic, to love, because it's part of who they are, not because it's something that the world says you can't do it if you want to or not. Because at the very end of the three camps, we end up with forgiveness. And with a lot of these young boys, the reason we want to teach them forgiveness is because there's a lot of things they may learn throughout their lives that might cause more resentment and brokenness. Whereas when forgiveness is a part of the identity, it becomes easier for them to work through these issues. So identity becomes the core for us because we're teaching them that as this fatherless boy, just understand your identity is found in Christ. Because whenever you have issues, we want you to go there. We don't want you to be in a situation where you're now trying to find yourself in things that are not of you or did not create you. Because a lot of the times they will not lead to you being the best you can be.
Salami, what do you think is the difference between God's standard of manhood and the standard that is set in the culture today?
Well, I would say it's consistency. God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Whereas in society, we work on emotions and try to see how do we satisfy everybody at every different moment, which we cannot do. So we end up molding things each and every day in different ways. And then when we look at the way that we teach from the word and actually drawing them back, one of the things we try to do with the young boys, especially those who do not have mentors, is say to them that they need to read the word, but they need to start from understanding wisdom. So we try to push them towards Proverbs because we want them to understand the solid structure of Christ and the solid things that he says, rather than something that today, this is right, tomorrow, this is no longer right. The consistency for me is the major difference. And the constant change brings a lot of friction, brings a lot of confusion, and it actually breaks a lot of these people. So that for me would be the major difference, consistency versus the ever-changing answer.
Salami, if there is a young boy who's listening to this program tonight and they are struggling with these issues because they maybe even have a father who's at home, but he's just not an involved father, or whether that child doesn't have a father at all, what's the message that you want to share with young boys like this?
Well, with young boys who are going through these types of things, we would like to work with them. We would love to be in a situation where we are working to speak life into them, because no matter what they are going through, there is nothing that they cannot overcome. The only thing for us is to help them find and identify the tools. The only thing for us is also to help, especially the much younger ones, to find a mentor in their area. As I mentioned before, we have a partner who has mentors in various parts of the country. And with the older men, because we still have men who are quite broken, who are older, we have a session that we have every second month called Men Around the Fire. There, it's actually a space where we get very comfortable as men. It would shock a lot of people if they had to walk in and see how many men get emotional, cry and everything. So we create a space where we're saying, come here, let's work with you, let's help equip you so that when you go out into the world, you become a beam and you become something that will change other men around you as well.
Mm. Salami, how can the listeners get in contact with you?
Well, we have a website, singlemomsraisingsons.org. That's moms with an S and sons with an S. And on the website, they can literally just leave their details, or they can email info@singlemomsraisingsons.org. Or if they'd like to email me direct, it's Solami, S-O-L-A-M-I, @singlemomsraisingsons.org. Would love to hear from some of the men, both those who are struggling and both those who have overcome, and young boys who are also going through both, and especially men who would like to join the movement of how do we help grow a generation of men that represent the body of Christ, trying to make sure that the work of the body is happening each and every day, especially outside the four walls of the church.
Salami, thank you so much for your time this evening on the program Heartlines here on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM. It's been a privilege to hear from you and to be encouraged to know that there are men who are willing and able to spend their time to mold the next generation. This evening, I want to take the opportunity again to remind you of the Heartlines Father Matter films that are going to be premiering on SABC 2 at 8:30 on the 17th of September. It is a series of 6 30-minute short films that will be broadcast every Saturday for a period of 6 weeks. The films are set in various places around South Africa, and each one of the short films explores some of the complexities of fatherhood in South Africa today. And it's very relevant, especially since we live in a country where most homes, children don't have their own biological fathers present. Let's go behind the scenes to one of the first films that will be aired, titled Family Portrait, which tells the story of Ayize, a struggling artist who becomes a new father and who has to struggle to find acceptance from his mother-in-law because he's not exactly capable of providing financially. This story portrays the importance of a father's presence in the first 1,000 days of a child's life.
The film is quite a complex story. It revolves around this young man by the name of Ayize, who has impregnated this woman from Cape Town. They've fallen in love. Now they have a baby, and he navigates between the in-laws and him being unemployed, that now he has to provide for the family. And really he can't, because being an artist, it's quite hard.
I play a character by the name of Ayize. He's a painter, a dreamer of sorts. He is also a lover who's in love with this lady, Nomvula. Nomvula, she falls pregnant, and he's not in a very great financial situation to support the child. So a lot of things happen internally in terms of shame and not feeling good enough. And it doesn't make it easier that sort of pressure is coming from his in-law. His one thing is that he really loves his girlfriend, and we see that sort of love and that sense of duty kind of translates to the child.
Unomvula is a very nice girl. She's so in love with her boyfriend, and they just had a baby, so she still has that picture in her head that, you know, they're gonna, you know, raise the family together and it's gonna be all nice. But her mom is really not having it, and she's tough on her boyfriend. And so she finds herself stuck in the middle, like, all the time.
Cecilia is a beautiful soul, protective, intelligent. She takes good care of her daughter. She's overprotective because of the situation that she went through herself. Cecilia can see that he's a visual artist, but she has never seen a cent from him.
Tebe has been fun to play. He's a father who has got his act together. He's a dad, and that kind of drew me because I'm not a dad. It was interesting to play somebody who has a nurturing spirit.
I grew up seeing a lot of bravuses in the township, gangsters with flashy cars and so on. They had kids, and some of them were not taking care of their kids. Bravuses' son, which is the main character, Ayize, they have never had a good relationship because Bravosi was never there.
I've been enjoying the whole cast. It's like a real family. In order to be welcomed by your cast, or to set the tone that you want for the film, you have to be transparent. You have to bear yourself to these people in order for them to trust you. If I should tell them about my experience or about the story about my father, that will also enable them to open up to me.
In the reading room, we kind of shared our stories about our own engagements with fatherhood, whether we were fathers, with our own fathers. It set the tone because we shared a lot of personal stories in the room. Yeah, we cried, man. We cried quite a bit in the room.
When I was reading the script, like, I saw myself in the script because I could relate so much to what's happening to Nomvula. Being a single mother, you know, I had to work and take care of my daughter.
Fathers do matter. With the father, you earn that trust, you earn that love, you earn that warmth. The child opens up to you.
I would say fathers do matter. And I'd say that talking as somebody whose father wasn't present for the longest time in his life and the type of influence that kind of played. In South Africa, where the households are led by women, wonderfully so, as best as they possibly can, you know, fathers do need to step up.
I think there are a lot of roles that are played in the film that all of us can kind of reference. What we're trying to share in this film is that your presence is important.
These men are longing to be accepted, and whether they've made a mistake or not, but they're there physically, they want to be there with their kids, and the society sometimes doesn't allow that. So I think it will be an eye-opener, but I hope it evokes emotions and also raises questions as to what is that we're doing wrong.
You know, there are fathers that are out there that are trying. For those who are not there, they should watch so they can see what other fathers are doing. And so they can see what it does to society or their children.
That was a behind-the-scenes look in the film Family Portrait, one of the 6 Fathers Matter films that will be airing on SABC 2 from the 17th of September at 8:30 for a period of 6 weeks. So be sure not to miss that. It's starting next week. And I'm excited to be joined in studio by Craig Bushier as we are going to discuss some of the key themes that come up in the films. That was it for your program, Heartlines. Do stay tuned to Good News Community Radio because we've got some good news coming up next.